Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Devin Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley here, and I am so excited to geek out with you all about construction vacuums today. Just kidding. But we talked about the pre-interview about the Roomba vacuums is the best way to kind of talk through what we're going to be talking about today. And the main message that I want to convey to you, Tribe, is that we all know that automated layout is one of those things that's inevitable. And it's fascinating when you get inside the tent and you start talking about this stuff, about building from one source of truth. And you start really thinking about it and you're like, well, this is that obvious thing, right? This is going to happen. It just makes so much sense, right? The underlying technology is there. And the industry is so ready for it with the people that are actually the warriors out there that are actually trying to make this work. But it's the digital handoff to the physical handoff. This is that key part. And we have to embrace it, right? And so how this is going to benefit you is that Rugged Robotics uses computers for what they're good at. And then the most important thing, Tribe, you, the people, for what we're good at. And what we're all trying to figure out every day, right, is to free up that critical staff to focus on more important value-added work and why we do this in the first place, right? The art and the construction all coming together. So what I'm so excited for this conversation, we've had hundreds and hundreds of conversation around building from one source of truth and handing that digital model to the physical warriors doing the work. And what Rugged is doing is they're leveraging those details in that coordination project team that's being done. And so much of that is lost with the data drop chasm. And we need to be able to bring that to the field. And we have to automate the layout that improves this new Amazon world of speeding this thing up that has gotten really hard, right? But speed is good. But accuracy is everything, as Wyatt Earp said. So we can get efficiencies and qualities and put all that stuff together, right? So Tribe, my main perspective for this is that there's been a lot of talk and a lot of tools out there about how do we digitize the tape measure or connect the field to the office. Baby, we got the Roomba for construction to go take those clean floors, mark it out, and have a tool for that. And how we're going to do that is I'm super excited. The pre-interviews were so much fun. The team is, I was traveling from one thing to the next and listening to just super passionate, awesome guys. Derek Morse, who's the original founder and CEO, and Logan Farrell, who's the co-founder and the CTO, helping put all this stuff together. These guys have an awesome platform we're stoked to be talking about. Let's go have as much fun as possible and crush it with Rugged Robotics. Lock and load, Tribe. All right, let's start with Derek. What's your favorite beverage?
I know a lot of people give you the same answer, but definitely coffee here. I start the day with just black drip coffee. That's my go-to. And then mix it up throughout the day. In the afternoon, tend to get into cold brew, sometimes something a little bit sweeter just to mix it up, but definitely heavily dependent on coffee at this point and have no hesitation admitting that.
Yeah, no doubt. I've had the pleasure. I get to interview a lot of startups and origin stories, and it's not for the faint of heart, and you got to be able to keep going. So it's definitely relatable. What's the favorite place you've traveled?
So this is an obvious one for me. My wife and I, we met in grad school, and after we graduated, we hiked in Europe from Chamonix, France to Zermatt, Switzerland. So crossing the ridges of the Alps, hiking hut to hut. And it was a spectacularly beautiful part of the world. I love hiking. I'm an outdoorsy guy. But to do that with my future wife was just super special. And we had one day in particular that was just really tough. There were some rock slides in a certain area, so we had to go way around that. That trail was closed. And it was probably a 12-mile day. I can't even remember how many vertical feet we did. But we finally made it to the next hut as the sun was starting to set. And I looked at my wife and I knew at that point, I was like, wow, this woman is tough. I'm going to marry this woman. So it was like really special part of the world, beautiful, beautiful place, great, great scenery. And obviously a tremendous experience, but also personally has some deep meaning to me.
Woo. Logan, we're coming to you next. That's quite a story. Here we go. And what, Derek, what do you like to do outside of the construction silos we're going to talk about with your fancy rugged robots?
Yeah.
Break down this that we call the art of construction.
Yeah. So obviously startup founder, and I've got two little kids. I've got a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old. So they take up a lot of my time. But when I am able to peel away, I love working with my hands. I find it really rewarding and satisfying. A lot of what I do is kind of longer term planning and strategic thinking. And I love the sense of satisfaction that I get when I can actually build something. So working on my house, working in the yard, I mean, something as simple as gardening, I find very rewarding. I've got a long laundry list of projects that I'm kind of slowly chipping away at. I'm a first time homeowner. So working through all of those things. And that's kind of where I spend my time. And I actually find it very, very rewarding.
Awesome, man. Well, we got to know Derek. Let's pass the baton over to our CTO from our CEO to Logan. Logan, what's your favorite beverage?
I have a 7-month-old baby and a fledgling company, so it's obviously also coffee. A nice, home roast with AeroPress, and just actually having like 20 minutes to sit and enjoy a cup of coffee. And then in the evenings, it'd be a nice glass of scotch. I once had a good friend treat me to a pour of Lefroy 18 year, and it was a delightful experience.
Awesome. Yeah, I was in Scottsdale last week for a podcast recording with Carson Holmquist, and I just love asking these questions because it's fascinating, the answers. And his answer is, and it'll be on an upcoming podcast, but he's like, it's the first time I've ever heard that. I'm pretty sure it was. But anyway, he's like, Folgers. It has to be Folgers. I was like, what? I was like, seriously? And he goes, and then he told me the why. And he goes, because every morning I have my cup of Folgers where I grew up and I think of my family and like what makes me tick of like, and it's, so it's just that memory is that nostalgia. And I just like, wow, how cool is that? Right. And why we do what we do. And that's why we do this speed round. Right. And so Logan, what makes you tick outside of the construction silos?
Oh, I'm a runner and a hiker. My wife and I both, not to be outdone by Derek, but I met my wife running. Our first date, she didn't know it was a date, was running a half marathon together. Our second date that she didn't know was a date was also running a half marathon together. And then the third date that she knew about, was a result of those two races. So we still, to this day, run, we actually run with our 7-month-old together, and it's a good time.
It sounds like there's some kind of connection about you guys running with the robots. It's kind of like, it seems like there's definitely connection here.
I feel so fortunate to have found Logan, where like technical and capability wise, we're perfect complements, but we're fully aligned on culture and work environment and a lot of these family things that we're talking about here. And you can see it just in those stories.
Awesome. Well, Derek, what is your story that led you to becoming the founder CEO of Rugged Robotics?
Yeah. So I started in the construction industry. I actually worked with the tools when I was younger. When I was in high school and college, I installed fire sprinkler pipe. Went to school, graduated, and went to work as a fire protection engineer and as a code consultant, and spent 7 years in the industry working on large scale commercial construction projects. I'm a registered PE. I really enjoyed my time in the industry, but just hit a point in my life where I wanted to explore some other options. I went back to school to pursue my MBA. And then out of business school, I worked in corporate strategy. I actually moved overseas to Seoul, South Korea, and I worked at Samsung in corporate headquarters. And it was really fun to look for new business opportunities for Samsung. But after 4 years, I was really longing to get back into the construction sector and also wanted to get home, wanted to get back to the US. So landed here in Houston, started to network into the community here. In my opinion, Houston is like ground zero. It's the North American Mecca for all things engineering and construction related. I love being part of this community. And I had some great conversations about some of the topics you touch on regularly, construction productivity, labor availability. And I started to think more deeply about that and decided I wanted to do something about it. So started to stand up Rugged Robotics, but knew right away I couldn't do this on my own and needed to find my perfect complement. And that's where Logan came in.
So the chemistry is a big deal, right? Of a lot of these startups, and that's what's been really cool for me watching you two, how you, the yin and yang. So how did you bring Logan in as the co-founder and the CTO, which is a really important thing of these origin stories?
I'm glad you asked that. So I consider myself kind of mechanically inclined, and I tinkered in the garage for a little bit and tried to build a line following robot, which is something that your average middle schooler could probably build. And I put it together, and then it just didn't move because I can't write a single line of computer code. So I knew it was a very humbling experience, and I knew I need a CTO. I need like a technical co-founder. And I had coffee or lunch with about 100 people in the area. I methodically searched Houston. And Logan, as soon as I met him, we were introduced kind of a friend of a friend. And I reached out in January of 2019. There was actually a government shutdown in effect. One of those budget issues where the government shuts down. And Logan responded to my email and said, well, the government's shut down and I can't go to work at NASA. But just to be totally transparent with you, I love my job. I love what I do. I have no intentions of leaving, but again, the government shut down. So I'm happy to have lunch with you. So we went out, we dated in air quotes for probably two, 3 months, really got to know each other. And I think the chemistry was just there. At least I thought it was there. And obviously he saw something, and I'm so grateful that he joined. And then when that was at that stage, we had a little bit of kind of pre-seed angel funding. But he and I collectively went out and secured the seed round, and that's when he became a full co-founder and a partner in this journey.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for sharing that, because a lot of times, and that's what this podcast is for, is to really help lead from the top down, but most importantly, the bottom up, right? And how this actually works, which is really, I think, at the root of the conversation of what we're trying to solve here. But first, let's get into knowing Logan. Tell us your background that led you to becoming the co-founder from the origin story and being the chief technology officer for Rugged Robotics.
Yeah, my background is robots. It has been since I was a kid, high school robots. And then I was like, I'm going to go build sweet robots for a job. And that's what I set out to do. I got my bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering and went to NASA. I spent about 8 years at NASA doing robotics R&D in Houston at the Johnson Space Center, which is cool. Like, it was some super cool stuff. I worked on, you know, a prototype robot to go to the pole of the moon and drive into craters that haven't seen the sun in a billion years and dig for water, which is neat. A lot of cool technology to go with that. I programmed humanoid robots, you know, walking in zero G. So a lot of like really neat stuff and a lot of really cool experiences. And I loved it. But, you know, what really got me in the door at Rugged and what Derek, you know, enlightened me on was the stuff I was working on was cool, but it didn't have that much practical impact. Yeah, it might advance technology to be used in 20 years from now, but it wasn't solving anybody's problems. And Derek's like, hey, construction, you know, has this need. And like people have an issue with layout right now. And I think we can solve it. I'm like, yeah, I think we can. And so that's really what did it for me, is let's solve a problem people actually have right now. And it's been awesome to do that.
Well, I think you can too. And here we are, right? So I hope everybody's as jazzed as I am as we've teed this thing up to get going with this. So Derek, what the heck is Rugged Robotics? And talk through this product. And then we're going to circle back with Logan, because we've already learned you and I, Derek, are the big picture guys, to where my team, when we started this recording, they had to say, Devin, you're not recording. Devin, you're not doing this mic right. Devin, you're not doing this detail right. Do you get where I'm going with this, right, Derek?
I totally get it. You know, I had the vision, but I there's no way I could build this. There's zero chance. Yeah, thanks for asking. So Rugged Robotics, at Rugged Robotics, we're building intelligent automation for the commercial construction sector. Our goal is to augment the existing workforce so that they can focus on what they're good at, and we can use computers and automation for what computers and automation are good at. And we have a pipeline of products that we're going to build out, but the first one addresses the challenge of field layout. We believe that layout is the beachhead for construction automation, and it unlocks a lot of follow-on products and ideas. But layout, as I think you're probably familiar with, it's the process of translating that digital design into the real world. Right now, that is done manually. A lot of trades are still using tape measures and chalk lines to mark where their systems, features, walls go. Some of the more sophisticated trades are using total stations and surveying equipment. But universally, this is a slow, error-prone process. It's fragmented. Every trade does their own layout individually. It results in all kinds of problems in the field. And our solution is what we call the layout Roomba. It's essentially an autonomous wheeled rover that drives around on unfinished concrete floors. And it prints a life-size blueprint. It includes all of the architectural features, so walls, doors, soffits, windows, anything like that, as well as the mechanical features, all the MEP systems, HVAC duct, mechanical pipe, plumbing, electrical equipment, sprinkler heads, whatever you want to print on the floor, we can print on the floor.
Wow. And Logan, anything you'd add to that?
Yeah, and it's cool, really, I think, the way we're doing it. A lot of the folks, you know, listening have seen total stations, and effectively what we've built is two total stations mounted on a mobile platform. So it's a totally self-contained system that you can pop down on the floor, set up a few things over building control, and then just go to town and start printing. So we're trying to make this product as easy to use as possible and fit seamlessly into the way people are doing construction now. We're not trying to change the way people do business. We're trying to help people do business.
I love that. And I want to pause there. You said fits seamlessly in what other people are doing. And I want to give credit to our origin story within the art of construction. And that person is Alice Luang of Brick and Mortar Ventures, which is a key partner of getting you guys where you're going. And shout out to one of our partners, Digital Built Week, where we're going to be in Anaheim this year. And Alice and I are doing some different stuff together of listening to these different tools and technology of Derek saying, okay, I tried this, I need to do this, but then going and partnering with Logan that has helped with NASA to have this stuff going in crazy places to put all this stuff together, which I could not agree more. The digital build to the physical build is the most important handoff and was where construction is so broken right now, but there is so many cool things like this to fix that. So that is why Steve Burrows, who I interviewed as the keynote last time before COVID when we had Digital Built Week, he said, it is the greatest time to be in construction if you're paying attention to where this thing is going. And this is that conversation. So, Derek, I want you to talk about what effects will your robot have on a project? And the main thing, we can't stress this enough, of what problem did you set out to solve? And how are we improving it in this world of noise that everybody wants to be heard, but there's so few amazing construction technologies that people are quite frankly listening to?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. So we set out with this first product to solve the challenges that we saw with traditional layout. It's fragmented. I mentioned earlier that every trade does their own layout. They use a variety of technologies. Some are using tape measures and chalk lines, still doing things by hand, adding up dimensions in their head. Others are using surveying equipment, which in itself is pretty accurate, but it needs to be calibrated correctly. With this fragmented approach, you've got the opportunity for different trades to start from different ends of the building, work in different directions. So that coordination that we spend months and months preparing in the digital model, it's just falling through the cracks when we bring that into the real world. So our goal is to bring the detail, the fidelity of that model into the real world. And the value proposition is really speed and accuracy. We can de-risk this problem with technology and more accurately, more repeatably bring that layout into the real world. We can also do it much, much faster than traditional means. And we can do it all in one shot. We can print all of the trades together. So all of those stub ups for the electrical receptacles, for plumbing equipment, they end up in the walls they were intended to be in. So we print a consolidated layout for all of the trades. We can do it much, much faster than traditional. And we can also bring a lot more information into the field. So we can actually bring text, prefabricated part numbers, trade names and system names, elevation information. We can bring a lot more detail into the field too, so that installers are empowered to focus on what they're good at, that's installing things.
I love that comment and kind of relate. You talked about how the people are coming from all different directions, right? but we have to have something that brings us together. And I want to give credit to show 253, where we talked about the key to offsite construction is automation, where we talked with Dwight Morgan, who spent 50 years in robotics, but really focused into the factory. And we're talking about blending onsite and offsite construction. These two platforms, I'm just like, wow, getting into these different founders' heads to talk through this stuff. And the part that I really want to, I want to get Logan's take, as he was saying, in high school, I'm all in on building sweet robots to going to NASA to say, this is what I want my job to be. Logan, what's your take? Does this replace anyone's job as you see it?
No. Definitely not. Our goal here is to help people do their jobs. We already have a hard time getting folks in construction, you know, the labor shortage. We're trying to make the folks we do have more productive so we can build as fast or faster as we were. And on the job site now, you know, it's the foreman doing the layout a lot of times. And the foreman's got important stuff to do.
They don't have anything else to do. Just go lay out the floors.
Exactly. And it's ridiculous that he's the one or, you know, running around trying to do that while coordinating shipping and the guys on the floor below putting up, you know, bottom track and top track. Like it's absurd. So let's take that off his plate. And like I said, you know, in the intro here, it's, we're trying to use computers what they're good for. Robots are good for dull, dirty, dangerous. And this is most certainly a dull task. Let it run around, do the 90% for you. And there are things that, you know, make sure a wall lines up with where the mullion's going to go. You might, you know, that foreman then can walk around and say, I need to bump that wall over 6 inches because I understand the building I'm building. But he didn't have to crawl around the 40,000 square foot floor to make that 5 minute smart choice.
Yeah, it was the 3 D's. Is that a standard robotics? I'm learning you robot brains because I think Dwight said the same thing. And I was like, oh, dull, dirty, dangerous. Like, that is such a good way. Like, and the thing about this tribe is, as I have these interviews, is boy, we can be jaded about what we think we know. Like, I raise my hand as a project manager and is like, I don't have time to pay attention to these robots because I just got to go lay this out because I got to get on to the next thing. And then I'm doing it the dull stuff when I want to be doing this. And dirty, like I'm out there where I'm trying to then go to the next meeting to sell the next job in a fancy showroom or this after I was all over there getting dirty, laying out the floors. And then dangerous because we're putting ourselves in a place that a robot, if something falls on the robot, it's not a human. Am I understanding that right? Where Dwight and I talked a lot about how humans work with robots. And from his perspective, it was in the factory. And from your perspective, it's out in the field. Am I understanding this right?
That's exactly right. It's figuring out how to use robots for what robots are good at. And robots are good at driving around on the floor and putting things in the right spot slowly and methodically. Your knees are not. And then I'm going to use your brain to do the things your brain is really good at, like understanding the drawing and the nuances of how we're actually going to do that soffit.
I love it. I'm totally hooked. So we've kind of talked about the 800-pound gorilla of how we're going to move this crazy construction forward. But how do we do that? How do we eat that elephant is one bite at a time. Derek, when we get into the riches of the niches, what kind of projects are your robots really best to be used on?
We've tried a little of everything. I think we collectively, Logan and I, fundamentally believe that you can't design in an ivory tower and design under ideal conditions. So we're out on job sites as often as we can be. And we've done a lot of different projects. The most challenging to date was probably the interior fit out of a 65,000 square foot hospital in an existing building in New York City. It was, you know, a 100-year-old hospital. It's been renovated and expanded a dozen times. And here we were operating in that. And it was a really, really challenging environment for us. You know, the other end of that spectrum is a brand new build, a beautiful shell and core building with freshly poured virgin concrete floors. It's nice and smooth, wide open, no materials being stocked, nobody working in there yet. And we can just rip across that floor and do it super quickly. So I would say our sweet spot is definitely new construction is a little bit easier than existing. primarily because of those coordination issues that Logan mentioned. We're digitally recreating that design file. So if there needs to be adjustments to meet up with existing features, that can be tricky for us. But new construction, TI work, high rise, multi-floor projects, anything like that is our sweet spot. We're not really looking at one and two family wood construction, primarily just concrete and steel commercial construction, the kind of stuff that reshapes the city skyline.
And it's all the same stuff, right? It's a little bit more rugged to do a remodel and tear it apart before you put it back together than have a purposeful plan that is just laid out perfectly, which none of those are ever perfect, but it's this process. And we've been having a lot of conversations around how do we, you know, rebuild, but also do it in the best way to build better buildings. I love the name of Rugged Robotics because that's what it's all trying to put together. Logan, what information on the project does your robot, how is it fed? I want you to talk through connecting the field to the office, as we've done a lot of work with really cool companies like Trimble and Enscape and all these great companies that are really focused in that A silo. And you guys are trying to take that architectural and then engineering and push it to construction. So what information does your robot need fed? And can you work straight from a BIM model like the 800-pound gorilla Revit or maybe some of the others, Construction Dynamics, et cetera? Can you talk through the process on how that works?
Yeah, definitely. There's a difference between what we're doing today and what we're building and where we'll be in the future. Today, we take a slice of the architectural drawing from Revit, do a little bit of manual cleanup in AutoCAD and export that straight out to the robot for all the architecturals. And for the mechanical systems, we take a combination of the architectural drawings. If, you know, we're trying to figure out where the ducts pass through the walls, some of those features, a little bit of manual intervention. But then for all of your hangers and strapping and all of that, we just take the same export you'd send out to your total station that goes straight into the robot. All of that gets combined together into one, you know, combined layout, and it drives around and prints the whole thing all at once. In the future, you know, we're working to move straight from either Revit or AutoCAD. And that, you know, you could submit your Revit drawing and get a rugged quote and time to execute just straight off the bat, to make, again, this process as easy as possible for our customers and to fit just straight into the way they do business now.
Love it. So Derek, you kind of talked about how you've with your hands, you started doing this to where went to got your MBA, and now you have sold to have Brick and Mortar Ventures and other really cool companies partnering up with you to make this become real that we're all talking about it. And you can't argue with the truth of we got to be able to move digitization and construction forward. But can you compare and contrast, you know, to other products who have huge things to digitize the construction job site? And you can go back and listen to really cool podcasts. I mentioned Offsite Tech with Dwight, or the team at Trimble, where we talk about, you know, mixed reality and the robot dogs and all these really cool stuff. That's just my little silo in the art of construction and like what's out there. Can you talk about how the good, bad, and ugly of digitizing the construction works from your point of view?
Yeah, I think the key differentiator for what we're doing at Rugged is we're starting in the digital realm and bringing that into the physical world. And that flow of information from digital to physical is critical because we're marking with a resilient, robust mark where the trades need to actually start installing things. A lot of what's out there right now is moving information in the other direction. They're digitizing the physical world. They're starting in the physical world and moving towards digital. They're doing scanning. They're using, different types of technology to capture reality and bring that into a model so you can compare it with what you initially designed. You can identify errors, installation problems. We're trying to eliminate the need to do that. We're trying to eliminate the need for as-built drawings because you're actually building exactly what was modeled initially. Specifically in reference to augmented reality, I think it's a super cool technology, and I think it has some great applications. But I've worked with the tools. I've hung sprinkler pipe in these commercial projects. And I know that I don't really want to be working with a set of goggles on, reaching overhead and drilling a hole. It's very hard to see exactly where you need to drill it. I want a physical mark. I want something I can put the drill bit on and pull the trigger, and that's where I'm installing. So that's what we're trying to replicate, and that's what we're trying to deliver in the field for the guys working with the trades. You know, again, augmented reality, super cool. Some of these visualization tools, amazing for certain applications, and great with reality capture and comparing reality to initial model. But our goal is to bring that digital information into the real world so it can be built right the first time.
Speaking my language there, man. The warriors that we talk about with our Blue Collar Warrior series, they want that physical mark because it's on them to actually drill that hole or put the pipe in there. And I don't know about you, but I'm sick of building stuff twice and they come in and get screamed at because, did you read the plans? Did you do this? And now we're just going to move that same thing forward? Let's think about how we do this, right? And so if you've been following the Art of Construction Tribe, I just want to stop and say, wow, I've been traveling the globe, and I'm unfortunately I'm not going to be at Advanced Prefab this week or World of Modular, and I'm questioning why all these things are at the same time. And I think it's just the evolution of these silos, right? Because I'm going to be at Offsite Tech in Charlotte this week with people coming all over the country choosing to be there and talking through these business models and these plans. And I bring that up is because the MF word, or modular factory, we are branding and we are making this movement about system build lifestyle. And it doesn't matter what you call it. It's about putting a tribe together that is blending on-site and off-site construction and putting this stuff together. And you can go look, if there's a whole arsenal of podcasts around this, and we're getting so many people to follow this because, hey, we're onto something. And it's really an honor to be connected with you, Logan and Derek. But Logan, I really want you to pin down on this. If you go look at all these podcasts around this, what's your take about how well this would work on prefab or on-site assembly of taking off-site construction parts? And we're always talk about taking this digitized kit of parts of the Amy Marks and these influencers all around the globe that are talking about this stuff. What's your take on how well this tool would work in that vein, Logan?
Yeah, you're actually stealing my thunder on this question with my crystal ball at the end, because this is exactly what I was going to hit. I think, you know, this is great. The way we do business today, we need to mark where the pipes go, where the walls go. But the world's moving to let's build as much ahead of time as possible and build it effectively in the field. And I think that's the right way to go. And I think it's two answers here. The first is, in the short term, how do we help this? We can mark the prefab numbers. You know, if you are prefabbing all of your HVAC ducts, I can put, you know, it's part 1732 and then 1733, 1734 to help your guys install faster, to be able to color by number in a construction environment. That's the short term. We can mark where that pre-built bathroom goes and how the plumbing connects. We can help these things move into the field effectively, even staging areas we've talked about. I think the really exciting future forward thing is, how can we change the way we're building? So we're building as much as we can offsite, but there are some things you just have to build on site, and that may never change. But if we can start adding automation to the job site, you have your prefab and you have your just-in-time construction. You know, if we can give them tools to do the things on site really fast and moderately autonomously or supervised autonomy, to build those things they need when they need it on site, That's the game changer. It's combining those two concepts with the right tools. And I think that's where we're trying to go.
Chills on that one. I wrote down some stuff for the closeout that this is just absolute gold. As we're warming up to close this thing out, the question, I just absolutely love it when I get to have construction people in. And when I started this thing, you know, we're closing in on 260 podcasts. It's hard to keep track of the whole thing. And I just said, I got to have something. And my coaches said, you got to have something that is consistent. And so I said, I'm totally into technology. I'm very much like Derek. I say I like working with my hands and have a ranch where we do retreats and do welding and all this stuff. And everybody in the end, I get it going, and then they do better stuff than I do. And you got to find your riches in the niches, right? And that question I just put out there, because I love technology, but I love actually making it happen. Like, I get so frustrated of how many meetings I talk about plans and technologies that don't go anywhere. They actually have the robot out there going around right now, Tribe. It's going somewhere. So, Derek, what is your crystal ball for the future with technology in construction?
Yeah, I think you'll see the complementary views that Logan and I bring to the table here. He just told you how he's going to deliver it, I think, and gave you a lot of detail. My view is a little more, you know, bigger picture. I think the construction industry, it's a huge part of the economy. It's not going away. We will always need places to live and to eat, sleep, play, and work. But the way that we build buildings is about to change. The technological building blocks are there for us to start automating this process and start to apply tools and technologies that you've seen in a manufacturing sector for 20, 30 years. We can start unlocking that on the job site. And that's exactly what we're doing at Rugged. We've built this hyper-precise mobility platform, and that's our starting point. And right now we're marking where things go, but in the not so distant future, we can start installation and construction work.
Oh, wait, the robots can actually connect the field to the office of all these different questions. And that's why I wanted to pause before I asked this question, because Derek, you and I didn't know this when you started your go to school to get your MBA. I did not know this when I started the podcast. And a lot of people ask, well, why are you doing this? This is why, because construction needed a voice to fix this. But you have to have the people to do the work. So Logan, what is your crystal ball for the future with technology and construction?
I think the key is enabling people to work faster and more effectively and using people for what they're good at. And like I, you know, mentioned earlier when we were chatting, it's prefab is the future, but you can't prefab everything. So how do we enable the people in the field to what I'm going to call fabricate just in time? And how do we give them the tools and equipment to do that effectively and quickly? And I think this layout is the first step of bringing the way we're currently doing it and prefab together. But I think we can reimagine the way we're building buildings as these technologies come into play. And it's going to be a cool future.
Logan, what is that one thing for contractors and affiliates to go out there and crush it, to grow their business, to have people thinking about?
I think it's find technologies that help your people work more effectively. You know, don't get caught up in the flashy, cool, neat technology. Find the thing that's going to help your guy install faster or lay out faster or be more accurate. You know, find the technologies that are helping your folks do their jobs better so your folks can do what they're good at.
As we begin with the end in mind, Derek, I'm so proud of you, man. This is super cool what you're doing to take this stuff that we all know needs to happen and actually doing it. But the riches are in the niches, man, right? How do we do these handoffs and how do we all work together to build better buildings? What is that one thing you want the tribe to think about that go out there and crush it?
I think I fully agree with what Logan said, but one maybe add on to that is that they should engage early. There's going to be cutting edge technologies out there that just aren't quite ready, aren't mature enough yet. We're doing it with layout. But the next one, you know, it's not a fully baked cookie. And we've got some ideas and we're working with some strategic customers to help us refine those ideas and help us prototype and iterate on them. And by engaging early, trades and contractors can help inform and steer the technology to solve the problems that they're really struggling with. And they can help us solve the problem in the right way. And I think that's super critical for us as an organization. I think it's also super critical for the blue collar tribe, the guys in the field that are doing it, right? If you tell me exactly where your problems lie and how you do it today, we might be able to put some of the existing technological building blocks towards that and do it much, much easier and faster for you.
Awesome. Guys, thank you so much for stepping up to the mic and sharing your stories. We're big fans. We can't wait to see where this thing is going. And we'll stay in touch and put information in the show notes how to stay involved and be part of the click-to-mortar revolution here on the Art of Construction, helping you all build better buildings. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
Thanks.
tribe. We're all people trying to build better buildings. And this one, if you connect the dots of all the podcasts, like, I hate to tell you this, but if you're going to be a leader of the tribe, you can't just listen to one of these podcasts and be done with this. The future of construction is here, but you have to relearn a lot of different things. And they talked about their riches in the niches is a brand new, virgin, perfect concrete. Everything is perfect. And the robot just comes out and do that and just makes it perfect because that's so easy to scale. But I got news for you. It's a bit rugged, right? And so we have to figure that out, right? And all of us are coming from different places. And the people that are really want to break down construction, when I really get into know cool people like Logan and Derek, it's like, yeah, it's broken. But I'm sick of talking about why it's broken. Let's fix it, right? And so we must start with a digital model to truly begin with the end in mind. And that's so easy to say, but so hard to do. And we can never forget that the business of what we all do is the art of moving money. They did not partner with Brick and Mortar Ventures and get the seeds because there was just a video game that takes the robot to Mars and drives around there. Because we're not building on Mars yet, and we're a long ways away from doing that. So Rugged Robotics is a tool to lay out that exact model. Or what I would say to this is Rugged Robotics is the tool to lay out the contract, or what we call the one source of truth. That is the problem right now. It's the art of moving money, but it becomes the art of dealing with all the bullshit. And that's not what we want to do. And the part that I look at this picture track, and I can't wait to be involved with these guys and be out on projects with all the different things that we're doing and moving around there. It's as simple as the robot coming in and hitting the mark. And the warrior coming in and say, that robot added value to my day. Because that's really what we're all trying to figure out, because we have to take this prefab kit of parts that physically I'm going to be in Charlotte at Offsite Tech today. And I've been working on this partnership for the last year, and there's so many exciting things coming down the pike. Because when you actually automate something that should be automated, guess what you get? You get something that this industry does not have anywhere in anybody you talk to. And what is that word? Capacity. Robots with humans working together give you capacity. In that prefab kit of parts that actually hands off the digital build to the physical build is something that you can actually go back to what we all wanted to, and it's broken because of supply chain, is a prefabricated just-in-time kit of parts with the right handoff. So they talked about the future is going to be here, and the way to build is not coming up to change. The way to build to change is now. The problem is we got to get the other 99% to take the time to listen. And it's tools like Rugged is going to force it to listen. And I can't wait to see the future of that. I hope you're connecting the dots as much as I am and having as much fun as I am with all this stuff, because Tribe, it truly is such a killer time to take Logan's NASA robots from, I'm going to build sweet robots in high school. Think about that, because there's a lot of really cool, smart people in high school building robots. Or Derek from Samsung to running hard. And beginning with the end in mind, he talked about finding the right match and the culture to make it happen. Lots of stuff to think about, but most importantly, don't sit on the sidelines. Crush it out there, Tribe.